Hello, everybody. Welcome to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously.
No.
But who does have real opinions about the Cybertruck. Would you like to share them, Patrick?
I do. Oh, my God. did you read the one today about the guy? I think he'd driven it like a couple days, and while he's driving down the highway, it like started screeching at him about how like redundant safety systems have failed, pull off the road immediately. So he's just like stranded on the side of the road because his brand new vehicle just sort of blew its load.
I think my favorite part about all these Cybertruck stories is that not a single one details the same issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are dozens of them every day, and every single one is like, here's a very different issue you've never heard of yet from Elon's truck.
The one where the guy like drove from the dealership to a charger on his way home, like 15 miles down the road. And while he was charging it, it leaked all of the coolant out of the truck into the parking lot.
And they told him it wasn't covered by the warranty.
Yeah. They said, oh, I'm sorry. Coolant leaks aren't covered by the warranty. He's like, I can see the dealership from where I am right now. I think my absolute favorite out of all of this has to be the fact that they have not made a significant update to any of their other vehicle platforms in like 5 years because they've all been focusing on making this stupid truck for him. That's my favorite part of it.
And it's going great.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no arguments.
Do you see they're now selling the sledgehammer that he used to break the window of the first model like 4 years ago?
Wow, interesting.
The Cyber Sledge, I think they're calling it. Okay. They're selling like it's like $150 sledgehammer. And of course, it's sold out on the website because people are just so stupid.
Right. Now, when you order it, will he actually come to your Cybertruck and bust in your windows with one light bulb and a sledgehammer?
I think the test, I mean, how many, it's so stupid. How many people are, this is going to be the new news story where people have bought the sledgehammer and then they have tested it out on the windows of their Cybertruck. And how many windows are going to break because of that? I can't wait to find out. I can't wait. I think my favorite story was the one about the guy who put his fingers in the trunk to show that it would automatically stop.
The carrot guy?
And it did not stop. And he broke his fingers because he put a carrot in first to test it. Said, well, it'll stop with this carrot
goes in there. And it took it off like the French Revolution. Like, there was no hesitation. It just right off. And the guys...
it probably won't do that for my finger, though.
You could definitely hear the tone of his voice immediately change when that carrot got cut in half. He was like, well, I am still doing it. But
fucking dummy. Just these people. Oh, so you're gonna get one though, right?
I have to save up for a few years, but I think once I do and my family leaves me, I think I'll have nothing but money and time. So
I think people whose families have left them, those are the prime, that's the primary demographic.
It is big divorced dad energy. Like they're selling
for sure
100% of those trucks to divorced dads.
Oh man, how's your week going?
Going good.
It's great,
I guess. Yeah, fine, sure.
It's a tough question for a Monday.
Yeah, it really is.
It has just started,
right? Yeah. If you were to walk outside of my house right now, you would be treated to like 105 or 108 decibel screaming at the top of a trillion cicadas' lungs.
It's getting real, huh?
Yeah, it's really real. You probably remember when we were kids. If you found a cicada shell, like on a tree or something like that, that was a treasured item, right? That was like...
No, it was a disgusting item, and it was deserving of fire and death.
I did not realize how much of a white bread upbringing you had, but now I guess we're all finding out about it. Yeah.
what's the Ozark version of a wasp? That's that's me.
But yeah, nowadays, I mean, not literally today, I am swatting them out of my hair as I try to walk into work. It is really, really just,
well, you are, just disgusting. You are wealthy in cicada.
Mm-hmm. I am sick with cicada.
I'm telling you, young Patrick is so excited for you right now. Young Patrick just can't believe his luck.
Why are you not collecting all of them? Look, they're all over the tree. They're in your children's hair.
You have a truck. Just start putting them in the back.
You will fill that fucker up soon enough.
The cicadas have reached Chicago. I am pleased to say. Mm-hmm. not nearly in numbers of any sort yet. I've seen probably about maybe a dozen total over the last few days.
Yeah, there are a dozen down here with me right now, so just so you know.
Great. Maple is very scared of them. And I keep telling her that, like, they don't bite you. I don't think they have mouths. Is that right?
They, I'm nothing to bite with. Yeah. I mean, they're, I pick them up and let them crawl over my hands and stuff like that.
And I, so I'm not going to sting you. They don't bite. They don't, you know, anything. But I think when I say it, my voice is terrified because I don't like them. And I, she's picking up on that.
So she's detecting that question mark at the end of every one of those statements. Like, they don't have a,
they don't.
A mouth.
And then I say, right?
Right? Maybe get your phone. Like, see if they have a, see if they have a,
see if they have a mouth. But I expect they'll be coming up here pretty hard. But yeah, they've started trickling in.
Good. Good.
So very excited for that.
A very loud summer ahead of you. Very loud summer.
Well, I don't know if they're in Virginia, so we may have a, just a very loud month, and then ease on into the quiet of the absolutely desolate fucking Blue Ridge Mountains.
Well, you just wait until about 3 weeks from now when you get a mysterious UPS package that is...
It's a confetti bomb, is, except the confetti is just cicadas exploding out of this box.
Daddy, you got a package and it's very warm. I'm not sure.
Jeremy, can you please make a note not to share my address with Patrick? Thank you. Right, Jeremy's my now
they're
my
gonna
personal
put,
secretary.
They're going to put you on the contact page of the college soon enough, and I will figure that shit out.
Okay, Charles Murphy. Did I ever tell you the story of my stalker?
No. No.
Oh, boy.
No, please do. Sure. I mean, you've just said his name on, a, time. On the podcast.
I'll give well, he's dead now.
I'll show him.
The short version of the story is, and it's a corker. One day when I was working, this is probably like five or six years ago, I was at Columbia, and I had a voicemail on my phone, my office phone, and no one ever calls my office phone. I've never given that number to a person.
Yeah, and you're a millennial. Like, I'm really not sure why they gave you a phone.
Why does this thing plug into a wall? Yeah. What is it? And so it was this guy, and he was like, "Hey, Clayton, it's Charles Murphy. We went to college together back in 1967.
Oh, no.
Just looking to call, just looking to see how you're doing, and you know, they'll do it together." And I hear it, and I'm like, "Well, this he obviously has the wrong number. Poor guy. He did a Google. He did a Google as an oldie.
Uh huh. Yep.
And
there's a million Clayton Smiths. Yeah. He clicked on the tallest one, and then he was going to go, you know, to the
start
next.
There and you go down.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. So I just didn't think anything about it. So I didn't return the call or anything. Then like a week later, I had another voicemail, and it was Charles Murphy again. And he said, "Clayton, it's Charles Murphy. Why haven't you called me back? I need to talk to you. I don't like that you're not calling me back." So it got pretty intense. So I called him back just to let him know he had the wrong number. And I was like, "Hey, is this Clayton Smith? I'm sorry. I think there's a confusion. I think maybe you're thinking of the wrong Clayton Smith." He goes, "No, it's you. You went to Columbia College in 1967. And I said, "Oh, actually, sir, I wasn't even born in 1967. So that's not true. He goes, "Why are you lying to me?" So this is how the conversation went. And like for a while, and I'm just like, "What the fuck is happening?" So anyway, the short version is this went on for a long time, and then he started coming to Columbia to find me. Now, fortunately, my office, as listed on the website, I'd actually moved from that office and had not been updated. So he kept going to my other office where I was not, and there was no one on that floor or anything. So that was fine. But I was like, so I told security, I was like, "You can't let this guy in. Like, I don't know him. He's coming here. Like, there are students here. Like, he's not well, clearly." And meanwhile, he started leaving me voicemails about how he had the government had replaced his eyes with cameras and he had lasers in his mouth, things like that.
Sounds dangerous.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
And so this went on for a while, but he kept coming to campus. So I went to get a restraining order. And so I went to court against him and we went three times and he didn't show any of the times.
Oh, sure. Now he doesn't show up.
Now he's shy suddenly. He's in Joliet, so the Will County Sheriff's Office like served him papers, like but they couldn't, he wouldn't open the door. They can't just like barge in.
Right.
So it was a whole thing. And then eventually he showed up for the last day in court, and the judge, who had been very patient, she was like, "Mr. Murphy, like, can you just explain to me why you're doing it?" And his explanation was that my dad had tried to have him murdered at some point.
That sounds like your dad.
To be fair.
Your dad's a real old guy. I'm sure he had a really rich, full life before he had you. You can't make all these assumptions.
That's right. So that was one. And then she asked why he was calling me. And it was my fault, according to Charles, because I had appeared to him in the sky as a hologram and told him to come find me at Columbia College, Chicago.
So the stenographer is writing all this down.
Yes. Yeah. There's record of this somewhere that everyone's like, I don't think so. You'll be happy. I did get the restraining order, was granted.
Oh, it was good. Yeah. Rubber stamp that one.
That was I think 3 years worth of restraining order. And then when it was expiring, I was like, I guess, should I go? I haven't seen him for like since, you know, should I get it renewed? Mm. And Ryan, producer Ryan, actually, he's very good at internet. He was like, Google. Oh, yep. Don't worry, he's dead. So that's the story of Charles Murphy.
Interesting.
And so how we got on that topic, but
I'm glad we did, because it's very fruitful. It's,
boy, it was a whole journey for about 6 months of my life. It's really something.
That's exciting.
There's one other thing I want to talk about before we get started today.
Yeah, sure.
So the girls have been watching a lot of Paw Patrol lately,
mm-hmm.
which I'm on board for. It's way better than
kind of a narc show, but that's fine. Okay.
Well, this is the thing. So I want to talk about one. It's propaganda, and I don't love that. But have you seen the Paw Patrol Mighty movie?
No, that one. Yeah, my kids are both. They're some of them are too old and some of them are too young, but none of them are in the middle right now.
Okay, all right. So the Mighty movie basically is this meteor hits Earth, mm-hmm. and basically like gives these, it smashes into these gems that the pups put into their costumes, and then mm-hmm. they get superpowers. So now they're superpowered power pups.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
The weapons that they have,
they give them weapons,
the outfits and the tanks and the planes that they have, like, we have to stop militarizing puppies. We have to stop the militarization of Paw Patrol. It's insane. It was already propaganda enough, but this is less like, this is Iron Man level tech that they have that I guess is just paid for by, you know, Mayor Goodway.
Sure. Yeah.
And the taxpayers of Adventure Bay. And that feels absolutely irresponsible and insane.
Is this movie produced by BlackRock or something, or what?
I think it's entirely possible. I mean, it really is bananas. And even their human handler, Ryder, gets like an Iron Man suit and starts flying through the air. And it's never once discussed, like, what budget is this coming out of?
Are they fighting something that requires this level of weaponry? Or are they just like, the power I wield now?
Yeah, that's a great question. They are fighting someone who also uses crystals from that meteor to do bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I guess, but they already have superpowers.
Yeah.
Like, they don't, this is overkill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, anyway.
This reminds me when we went to college, and we went to college at University of Missouri in Columbia, extremely safe town, like, you know, very little crime, but also because of the egregious amount of taxes and state funding in there, the police department was just wildly overfunded, and they had a tank, which I thought was a little.
This was before it was popular to have those in police departments. This was like 2002.
Yeah, this was way pre-Ferguson. Like, this was way before it was in vogue for, you know, police departments to be, you know, private military contractors. And they had a honest to God tank in a parking garage somewhere. And every time I walked by, I thought to myself, how bad would shit have to go down that the campus police department would need to start putting shells into something?
I mean, what is the one scenario in which that would happen? Like, how, really? Like, what?
I can't imagine anything that would happen that would necessitate that wouldn't also signal just like the end of existence.
Right. You know, if that's happening, it's too late for a tank.
I don't think the Columbia PD tank is going to be what's between us and oblivion.
Well, and there's a nuclear power plant on campus.
True. Yes.
So I bet that's the rationale they use.
I guess. Yeah.
But again, if someone has already broken into that thing, a tank is not going to solve that problem.
At least on that's probably how they justified it on the form they had to fill out to apply for one. Like, any specific circumstances? Oh, fuck no. They're just really cool. Write the nuclear thing. We have a nuclear thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, oof. Shoo in now. Yeah. Good job. Good job, Jones.
So, yeah. Anyway.
I got a nice little note from my mom today. She said, this is nice on several levels. She said, number one, she said, you know, Father's Day is coming up and my birthday's coming up. She said,
it's got like more than a month, right?
Yeah. I don't even know. It doesn't matter. She said, what kind of whiskey do you drink on your little show? And I was excited to hear that for two reasons. One, because it means I'm getting whiskey for my birthday. And two,
absolutely.
Two, means she doesn't watch the show. So those are,
I don't know. What is Aldi selling these days?
two little feathers in my cap right there. Don't have to worry about continuing to offend my mom because she doesn't listen. And I get whiskey for my birthday.
That is nice. Every once in a while when I talk to my mom, she'll be like, oh, yeah, I keep forgetting to check out your podcast. And that is the I only want to hear that for the rest of my life. that's best, mom. Please, please continue to forget to check out this podcast. Oh, man. Before we get going today, I do want to say, I listened to last week's episode, a couple days ago, Jeremy wrapped it up. And do we need to explain what chuds are? Have we explained what chuds are? We talk about chuds a lot and we do not explain them.
So a chud, maybe I'll start. You fill in some gaps.
Well, you're the expert, but
a chud is a, splinter species. A splinter species of humanity that lives the entirety of its life underground. Some portrayals of chuds show them evolving without eyes. All of them show chuds with no hair on their body and ashen white skin.
Slimy, like, usually.
Usually slimy. And generally large jaws full of sharp fang-like teeth.
I had to look it up. It's an acronym. I had to look up what it stands for.
It's an acronym. This is news to me.
It's a cannibal humanoid underground dweller.
Learn something new every day. Okay.
Absolutely. So, and one of my favorite examples, there is a movie. There's Chud is a movie, right? Chuds or
I believe Chuds is a movie. Yeah.
70s, I think, or 80s. But boy, if you haven't seen The Descent, that's a good Chud movie.
If you haven't seen The Descent, you want to wake up early on a Sunday morning with your whole family in the house, but not in the room, and you want to watch that movie, and then you want to take a pill that makes you forget watching that movie. That's what you want
and
to
you
do.
You want to hug your family close the second it's over, but do not let them in that room until it's over. Holy cow.
Oh, man.
That's a hell of a flick.
Oh, oof.
Anyway, we talked about chuds a lot, and this is a good time, I think, to introduce this idea of one of the things we've been kicking around that we're going to try out for the Ghost Plus subscribers is we have a special merch store that's just for them, merch items that you can only buy if you're a Ghost Plus subscriber. And Ryan and I were talking about, like, what if we did like a monthly, like a shirt of the month?
Oh, I like that.
You could only get during 1 month, and once it's done, it's gone. And if you're a Ghost Plus subscriber, you can get it. If you're not, you can't get it. And even if you are a subscriber, you've got a limited window.
Sure.
And I'm very excited. I think we can announce this now because this will come out a few days before June. So the June shirt of the month is a Chud Justice shirt. And it is very good. Oh. We'll post some photos of it on the social. But boy, if you've been on the fence about Ghost Plus, this could be the thing that gets you over the top. Because Patrick, I've already ordered you one.
Oh, fantastic. It'll
be coming your way. I've got one for myself, obviously. It's quite good. So So Chud Justice. And we're gonna try to make this the shirt of the month thing go on. It really depends on if we, Patrick, you and I come up with good things for shirts in our episode. So no offense. No pressure. No pressure. That's what I was looking for.
Right.
Thanks, everybody. No pressure, but be funny and do good merch.
Okay. I can do one of those two things. I don't know how the merch part works, but I can I can try.
All right. Are you ready for a ghost story?
Oh, yes.
Too bad, because this week we are sponsored once again by our friends at Smart Labels.
Oh, thank God.
Thank goodness. Indeed. It's time for, as we keep saying, spring cleaning. And Patrick, I'm looking at your basement. There's a lot of stuff around. I think you could stand to clean for spring.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Will you? Will you do that?
Just get out the shovel and the Flammenwerfer and just Flammenwerf it all.
Excuse me, the what?
Flamethrower. Yeah.
Okay. And once you have that pile of ashes, you're going to want to know, like, which ashes were the blankets? Which ashes were the Aldi canned food? This is important to know.
The insurance company is going to want to know all those things. So
they are sticklers. Those guys, sticklers. So I want to sweep those ashes into a box, then slap a smart label on it so you know which ashes belong to what. Listen, folks, you've been listening to us for a long time. You've heard us do a lot of smart labels ads by now. And you should be as surprised as we are that they keep hiring us back.
The checks keep cashing. I don't get it. I really don't.
And so if for that reason alone, mm-hmm. you should go give your money to Smart Labels. Mm-hmm. They are such great partners, and they just let us say anything we want, which is, you know, bad on them and great on us. They are super helpful. Mm-hmm. I can't stress how much, as I'm moving right now, like, they are absolute lifesavers. I have already, half my basement is stacked with boxes with Smart Labels on them. And when we move to Virginia in a few weeks, it's going to be so easy to unpack things. I've got the podcast equipment. It's going to have to come out fast. I'm going to have the whiskey. It's going to have to come out very fast. Everything I need to come out very immediately, I've put in a very special box or mm-hmm. special set of boxes with Smart Labels. And they are the ones that are red colored because that's an emergency color. Mm-hmm. So I know exactly where to go to get the things that I need. They are just so useful. You don't have to be moving. You can just be living your life. If mm-hmm. you want to get organized, if you want to just store things better, mm-hmm. Smart Labels is the way to go. Go to Amazon.com. You know what Amazon is. Search for Smart Labels, all one word. You'll find them. You should buy them. Please support them. They are great. They are truly an incredible product. And they are just so forgiving of us. And we love that. Patrick, any final thoughts about Smart Labels?
No, I need to start using the color coding a little more tightly. I've just been kind of slapping them on random shit, but you're right. Red for dangerous things is probably a good place to start. Mm-hmm. Blue for obviously wet things, and mm-hmm. green for things of the earth. So,
and that's the three categories.
Yeah, that's literally all the stuff I need to organize. So. Everything else can just go into the flamethrower. But those three
Smart
things.
Labels, if you're listening, those three colors, those are going to be yourself. Yeah. We've just done market research, and those are going to be your big three. So if we can get a pack that's just those three and just a lot of them, mm-hmm. that would be ideal.
Lots and lots.
Now, we really are going to get started with the ghost story, but I do have to say before we do. So I've been pretty busy this week. I went to Virginia mm-hmm. with my family to go find a place to live, which mm-hmm. we did, which was great. But it was a pretty busy week, so I didn't really have time to take notes on the story this week.
Oh.
So, of course, our dear friend Jen Swanson stepped in.
Nice. Do you do anything anymore?
Notes?
You don't do anything what? Anymore. You don't do anything anymore.
I am been on autopilot for like 3 weeks on this show. I'm living my best life. and this is a special episode because it's one of those episodes where not only has Jen done all the notes, mm-hmm. I have not had time to read them yet. So this always is the second version of reading Jen's notes, and it's new for both of us.
Oh, can't wait.
Now, I did ask Jen, I said, hey, I don't think I'm going to have time to read this. Do you think it's cool to like just go ahead and do this as a surprise to both of us? And she mm-hmm. said, oh, absolutely. Yep. No problem.
Jen's in the middle of like five other things while you're texting her. And she's like, fuck you. I don't care. Just keep going.
Thumbs up emoji.
Yeah, sure. Fine.
So we're going to learn a lot about Jen's ideas of what I do and don't need to know tonight, I think. So thank you, Jen, so much. Super helpful. And I have no idea what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I assume they're really helpful. They could not be.
We'll check back in at the end of the episode. Okay, here we go. In March of 1643. Oh, fuck. David.
The pronunciations are going to kill you, aren't they? Put it in the chat. Just put it in the chat.
I will. You know what? I'm going to put this. Yeah. I got David. So David, I got.
Yeah. Okay.
So just when you're reading this, don't worry. I got David.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. I can't. Okay. So David,
okay. David, we have, right?
Okay. Peter.
Peter
Zoon de Vries.
Peter Zoon de Vries.
Peter Zoon
de Vries.
Peter Zoon DeVries. David Peter.
Hey, Jen, this is a quick note just for us. You don't have to do stories with names like this. There's lots of stories out there. You don't have to do this.
Also, names can be abbreviated, just in case you want to know.
David PDV.
David PDV.
God, David Peter Zoon DeVries. Maybe. Met with the Lenape tribe in a New England forest near Seaford.
Mm-hmm. Seaford, that's Connecticut.
Boy, is it?
I don't know.
Hard to say. Let's ask ChatGPT. This is the portion of the show where we ask ChatGPT things, and we call it PatGPT.
Is ChatGPT still responding as Scarlett Johansson's voice, or did she sue him yet?
No, they've taken that away.
Ah, well, there we go.
apparently there were some lawsuits mentioned, and they said no. Scarlett had one. Spike Jones had one. they've taken it away. Let's see. Where is Seaford?
Come on, Connecticut.
Seaford is a town located on the south coast of England.
Not close. But
no.
Also, not a lot of indigenous people in England in the 1600s. I mean,
yeah, this is confusing.
Yeah.
Jen, you got a lot of explaining to do. I would guess this is a New World Seaford. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Connecticut. I think
Connecticut sounds reasonable. Okay. Let's say Connecticut. Now, De Vries, well, this is going to shock you. He was a Dutch navigator. who became a quote-unquote diplomat, Jen is that in quotes, negotiating between the Lenape and William Kieft, who was the director of New Netherlands for 5 years.
Do you want an interesting Dutch fact?
Oh, God, I do.
So, are you familiar with the type of monkey called the proboscis monkey? Have you seen this monkey?
I feel like maybe you've sent me pictures of this monkey.
Okay, so the proboscis monkey, it looks... I'm just going to have to show you.
Yeah, put it in the chat.
Yeah. So the proboscis monkey.
I hate this.
Can I paste in photos?
Well, you can put in a link to a photo.
Oh, well, that's not going to work.
You can share your screen.
Okay. Share my screen? Oh, I can't do
that. Yeah, then everyone can see it.
All right.
Scar shares. All of us.
Yeah. Share. Yeah, whole screen. What the fuck? Let's do it. Let's get wild. Let's minimize that. So the proboscis monkey, which we're
going to... There he is.
Yeah, there's that little guy right there. So the translation of the proboscis monkey, or at least the name that survived to modern day, is the Dutch monkey or the Dutchman monkey. Because whenever the Dutch finally arrived in the New World, all of the locals or all the natives saw a Dutchman and thought, oh, like the monkey. They immediately, and even today, refer to it as the Malay name for it is the Dutch monkey.
Well, so, that's not very nice.
No, and I'm sorry, it's not the New World. This was in Malaysia. In
that's
Malay.
Not at all the New World. Yeah. Actually, so that's pretty old world.
Whenever the Dutch arrived in Malaysia, they immediately renamed. They may not even have had a name for it at that point. They may have just been like, oh yeah, the monkey, you know, he's always stealing
our monkey friend. Yeah. Oh, it's the
and they're like, oh the wait, what do you call yourselves? Sure. Oh, okay, all right, we need to write that one down.
So the slaughter of those indigenous people there were probably justified.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Real. They were real.
What
was it?
What did you say about my haircut? Excuse me.
Oh boy. All right. So Kieft was a bad dude.
Mm-hmm.
Not my words. Let's see. And ordered the public slaughter of over 100 Lenape, including children.
Hmm. All right,
that checks out. That's pretty bad.
Hmm. You wouldn't do that.
This was an act now known as the Pavonia Massacre.
Hmm.
Now, De Vries, a hero, maybe? Question mark? Sympathized. it's always dicey to pinpoint a hero. De Vries sympathized with the Lenape and tried to work as an intermediary to establish a peace treaty. But despite his efforts, the peace didn't last, and Kieft instructed an even more horrific dickhead. God, Jen, that's... Wow, Jen has strong feelings about this. It's not very nice. Let's see what he did. Named John Underhill to take care of the tribe.
Oh, like take care of him?
Gosh, let's
find
out.
Why am I asking you?
I don't know anything. Once again, I'm learning with you.
You should share the notes over the chat. We'll just go through the whole thing together.
We can take turns reading. You can take turns reading bullet points. Underhill led attacks of terrible brutality, including drowning and skinning tribes people while alive. That is bad.
It does seem bad.
I think Jen's onto something here. That's not good. So after the continued atrocities at the hands of the Dutch, the Massapequa tribe actually stood up to them. They destroyed crops, ran cattle off, and stormed the garrison.
Okay.
Fuck the Dutch. Oof. What I always say, and it's what the Massapequa say as well.
It sounds like they were in pretty deep Dutch. I should probably should say that for later. That's fine. Go on.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna respond to that.
I'll do it again later.
I've already forgotten you said it, so that's going to work out great. In turn, Underhill and his men attacked the tribe back.
Mm-hmm.
They gathered the dead and dying people and threw them onto a hill and then sat down for breakfast.
All right, well.
What do you think that means?
I mean, it's sounding a whole lot like Jen had ChatGPT write the notes for her is what it's sounding like to me.
Well, you know, like when you're like fighting someone and you're like, I am so mad at you. Mm-hmm. I am going to fuck you up so bad. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw you on this hill.
Yeah.
And the person's like, no, don't throw me on the hill. And you're like, I'm going to throw you on the hill.
Fuck you. But it's also time for tea. So I'm going to sit down for a minute and have a scone.
We are civilized. Yeah. I'm so mad at you, but I am so civilized. So they have some breakfast. This becomes the known as the Battle of Fort Neck in present day Oyster Bay, Long Island.
Mm.
Okay, so we're in the New World.
Okay.
Established officially. Yeah. Many of the local tribes never recovered from the actions of the Dutch in the area. And by the way, speaking of Oyster Bay, have you ever heard the story of oystering in New York, like in the heyday, like in the exploratory times, in these times that you're talking about?
You're talking about like the harvest of oysters?
Or is it a different thing? Like the extreme harvest of oysters and like how like fucking buck wild people went over them?
No.
We talk about the dollop a lot. There's a dollop episode about it. Go check it out. Mm-hmm. It's wild. Anyway, that's some fun history that does not involve ghosts. Mm-hmm. So let's move on.
But it does involve your life-threatening allergies, which is even more exciting for me.
Well, I'd hate to hear that. Mm-hmm. I feel like it should make it distasteful to you. That would be a better reaction, I think. Yeah, I would not have survived New York in the early years. And it's New York that almost got me. Fucking oysters. It's just so weird. I've had oysters so many times in my life, and it's been fine every time until the one time it was not fine. And that time it was very not fine.
Mm.
And the hospital was like, you have a problem.
You, sir, need to stop eating all these goddamn oysters. You're like,
I said, I've had like three oysters in the last year. And they said, you glutton. So gross.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so fast forward now to the 1930s. Wow, that's a big jump. A developer buys up the land in this area, and not surprisingly, there are skeletal remains found.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of these skeletal remains are stolen by fortune seekers in the area.
Mm, yep.
You know.
It's how Rockefeller built his his kingdom, basically. Was on
famously, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The original railroads actually were built with the bones of the dead.
Yeah. Iron was tough to get. Mm-hmm. And you're like, how are we going to lay all these tracks? Like, how about the bones of the dead?
Yeah.
Like,
you.
Okay. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
So they sell bones, I guess. That's weird. What do you do with bones?
I you grind them for a giant's bread. That's all I can really think of doing with them, I guess. Maybe there's other uses, but you feed them to like a dog in a cartoon.
I guess so. I guess that's right.
Is that it? Are those the two things?
I can't imagine there's a lot of money in either of those things.
Yeah.
I mean, you get the right giant, I guess so, because you have a goose with these golden eggs.
Sure.
Like, yeah, what does he care? He's going to shower you with golden. He's going to pelt you with eggs.
They got money to spend. They're a total whale. But.
Total.
I don't know. About the other end of it, you know. So.
All right. Well.
But, you know, they also, there was money in the telegraph back then. So. Maybe it's one of those trends just died out.
You know. I think so. Just bone having.
Yeah.
Yeah, classic bone having.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Now I am wondering, is there money in bones? Because if there is, I could get some bones.
I mean, I've donated plasma before. I don't see why I should stop there.
I've got extra bones. For sure. Some of these bones make themselves new again. I broke my toe bone. I think I pretty much cracked it right off.
Uh-huh.
It's fine now. So I think it regrew.
What are you, like a starfish? I don't think it's supposed to happen.
I think so.
I mean...
I think they knit themselves like, what do you think? You put an arm in a cast. What do you think it does? I think it just like, it's not because they did surgery to like graft a new bone to your bone to affect your bone.
Sure. Yeah. Like a third one shows up in your arm.
You drink a lot of milk and bones grow.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the commercials told me in grade school. And I believe it. Hey, What if we take one of your bones? Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be an important one.
Right. I'm trying to think.
Put
which
on eBay?
Yeah.
See what happens.
Well, I'm just going to check eBay right now. Okay. eBay.
Do a comp. That's a good. That's good. That's good. Responsible.
Okay. So buy it now. I don't want to get jerked around.
Do you want to do a private browser or a VPN or something before?
No,
you do
this is on my wife's account. Oh, okay. Here we go. Got a good one. Here, let me share my screen. Hold on. I got one.
Oh, boy.
I got it. I'm just going to share that guy right there. There we go. Yeah, just a mini one.
That's not real. That can't. What is this? It's a mini skull.
A little palm-sized skull. $13.29. It's not too bad.
Now it's a great deal.
my favorite, save 70 cents. What am I saving 70 cents based off of? What was the base price there?
You know, in the black market, you pay $14 for this, but here, no, it's $13.30.
We got a big sale going on right now, all child skulls.
I will say.
Buy two, get the it's a BOGO sale.
$13 is not what I want to pay for. It's not what I want to make for a skull.
No.
I think that one might not have been real.
Well, I mean,
it was smaller than a newborn baby skull, so I don't know what kind of skull that is.
Way too many teeth. That's the problem.
So many teeth.
Baby skulls don't have that many teeth. Let me tell you that.
let me show you my box of baby skulls that I have the smart label on. When I need to find one, my baby skulls, I open up my app.
That one is the red label. Let me tell you that much. That is the
super red.
That one is when the cops come knocking, that one goes straight into the Flammenwerfer. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, God. Okay. So people are making tons of money off bones. I was going to ask, which bone do you think of yours we could get rid of? I mean, sell. I mean, get rich off of. Not get rid of. I'm thinking occipital.
Anything occipital?
Yeah.
I don't think
occipital
so.
Occipital bone.
Occipital bone? Which one's that?
The one up here in your eye?
Oh, the orbit, the one on your eye?
Yeah.
No, no face bone.
Now, you're going to miss it, but
right.
I bet it fetches a high price.
True, especially for somebody that needs one. I mean, I'm always tempted to do the little ones and the toes. Right.
Yeah.
That seems that's low hanging fruit right there.
Yeah. I mean, get the pinky toe has, I think, one bone in it and just take it out. And yeah. you don't need that.
Mm-hmm. Plus, your shoes feel a lot better that way.
Yeah. You stuff it with sawdust and you're the same. No one bends a pinky toe ever.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with the pinky toes and maybe one of the, like, the vertebrae down at the bottom. Like the,
okay.
You know.
Okay. I don't think we're going to get much money out of a pinky toe, but vertebrae, that might be something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll give you a number of my guy after we record. And you can go get this started.
We'll go back on dark eBay after this is all done.
So anyway, 1930s, people are selling bones. In 1953, the town of Oyster Bay bought the land from the private developer to try and stop the plundering.
To try and stop the plundering.
After 23 years. Like, this, how many bones are in there? I feel like you could have gotten them all in 20 years. I've been to Long Island. It is not that big.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but good for them. I love this private developer. It's just like, open season on bones. Mm-hmm. I bought this land. You want to come dig bones? $5. It's like it's like an apple picking.
No one will orchard. Stop me. For two decades. Admittedly, geopolitically, 1930 to 1953, kind of a busy time. A lot of people
were occupied. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's just like, Jesus Christ.
Strangely enough, after like 1942, the bone market kind of collapsed. So
there were just so many bones.
I mean, it was
internationally. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
it's like a pick your own pumpkin patch though. Pay $5, I'll give you a shovel. Come on and dig your own bones. Anyway, so houses are then built in the area and families begin to move in.
Sure.
Families. Yeah. Hey, do you like to live in this fucking boneyard?
Yeah.
It's only half the boneyard it used to be. So families move in, families like the Hermans. And I want to point out that the Hermans is spelled H-E-R-R-M-A-N-N.
Okay.
Which is too many consonants.
Yeah.
I mean, German, I assume.
Mm, yeah. Ehrmann. The Ehrmann family.
Yeah, rah, rah, man, man, man.
Like a boat motor.
Gosh, we have so many notes to go. So on February 3rd, 1958, Jimmy Herman, 12, he's 12 years old. Mm-hmm. He goes up to his room after school and notices that some things there aren't right. I was like, what are you doing? Oh, you're deadlifting cats. Hey, we are working right now.
I know. He's getting into everything. I'm trying to calm him down. Okay.
You good?
I'm good.
You sure?
He's fine.
How's Lewis?
Lewis is eating. He's laying down.
That's the other one? Who's this one? Oh, this was Lewis.
Here's Lewis.
Nope. Oh, who's this guy?
It's Venice. Vincent.
That's too many names.
I know.
So on February 3rd, Jimmy Herman, who's 12 years old, goes up to his room. Some things aren't right there. A model gondola his father gifted him, because his dad knows the cool things that kids like. The model gondola and a ceramic toy that he loved were both broken.
Oh, no.
That's not good.
Mm.
Mostly as a parent, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to hear the end of that.
Yeah.
So Jimmy called to his mother. Jimmy called to his mother, Lucille,
mm-hmm.
and then in parentheses, a nurse. Oh, his mother is a nurse, not his. Okay, got it. Yeah. Jimmy called his mother, Lucille. She's a nurse. To ask who had been in his room. While assessing the items, she assured him that no one had been in the house and that nothing happened to create tremors to cause the items to break.
Methinks the lady doth protest too much.
I was just thinking those exact same words, which makes me concerned for both of us. Now, Lucille's a devout Catholic, and she goes around the house looking for anything else out of the norm, and she notices a bottle of holy water that she kept on her dresser.
Mm-hmm.
What?
No, it's, you know, from whenever.
You have those, I assume.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. You know, for just before, you know, you and the husband decide to sin. Sorry.
Holy water on the penis there, and now it's safe.
And then a little back here, just in case that's not kosher.
Better safe than sorry.
I don't, you know, the Lord wasn't real clear about this within a marriage, so we're going to make sure everything back there is above board.
Well, anyway, so she noticed the bottle of holy water was tipped over and the cap had been removed and all the water had spilled out of it.
Cats. Definitely cats.
Sounds very much like cats.
I mean, you got toys broken in the kids' room. You got bottles of water knocked over. This is all happened in the last 90 minutes in my house. So I don't.
I think I saw half of it happen.
Not a lot of sympathy.
Well, then things got weird.
Mm-hmm.
Six bottles throughout the house were blowing their tops and began to, quote, dance around.
Ooh, okay. Some bed knobs and broomstick shit going on now. Okay, I like this.
Yeah, can anyone account for Angela Lansbury? It's important to know. Mm-hmm. Important to know.
Mm-hmm. She's searching for holy water, if you know what I mean.
From the dad from Mary Poppins, is that right?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, nail polish remover, peroxide, rubbing alcohol, and holy water bottles, all with screw tops, were found with their lids having blast off.
Oof.
And the liquid inside shooting into the air.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not what you want.
No.
I mean, that peroxide gets on you.
Mm-hmm.
You got one open cut. Oh, man. It's the worst ghost we've come across yet. So Lucille calls her husband, James. Now, James is... Man, I feel like we've come across this before. James is a detective and an airline representative. Didn't we have some other story where some guy was like a detective and like one other weird like insurance salesman?
I think,
or something?
Yeah, yeah, yep. Yeah.
So she calls him at work, doesn't say which work, to tell him about this going on. And James thought there had to be a rational explanation.
Sure, he's a detective, he's a man of science.
Absolutely. His wife is certainly hysterical.
He's also an airline representative, also a man of science, and right. customer Double service. Science. Yeah. So
he tells his wife, hey, I'll look into it when I return home tonight.
Okay. I'm not going to leave work for this. Also, this phone call cost me $7.
So you're going to have to get a job, Lucille, to pay for that. James thought that some sort of chemical reaction in the products had caused the bottle lids to blow. Mm-hmm.
Simultaneously.
And the fact, they did so at the same time was merely a coincidence. Now, here's what I'll say. Mm-hmm. Sure, something in the bottle could make it blow. Mm-hmm. I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not a science person, but chemicals do weird stuff. If like seven different bottles of different things all blow at the same time, that feels like not a coincidence. Mm-hmm.
Won't be fooled again. That's what I tell you.
He does think perhaps it had been caused by some sort of excessive humidity in the house. Is that what
he sounds like? Does? It just sounds like a terrible detective. That's really what it sounds
he
like.
He sounds like he just really wants to be left alone.
I'm really trying to get back to work here. I'm so sorry. Yeah, it's probably humidity. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely could be that.
Listen, babe, why do you think I have two jobs? Yeah. I just want to be left alone. I want to get out of the house. Like, in my office, please. I don't know. Just please stop calling. So he quickly investigates the bottles when he gets home and then confesses to being baffled when he finds that they were screw top lids. He's like, I guess you don't blow those off very easily. 2 days later, on a Thursday, the same bottles blew off those same lids. That's troubling.
Interesting. You keep the bottles. I don't think I keep those bottles.
You need peroxide. This is 1950s. You got to have peroxide. That's true.
Yep.
You will get sepsis on the reg if you do not have peroxide, for sure. The following day, it happened again. But this time, James was there to witness it. And he decides, I know what's happening. That dumb fuck Jimmy is doing this. Our idiotic 12-year-old Jimmy must be doing this. So, what a dad. He starts following Jimmy's every move over the weekend, determined to catch him in the act of doing something that's popping these tops off these bottles. This is the worst dad.
Also, a pretty shitty detective on top of it. I mean,
I think so.
I'm going to put a tail on the 7-year-old boy in this house. Actually, I'm going to go sit out in the van and just put a bug inside the house just so I can get out of here for a few hours.
I'll put some newspaper over the windows. Mm-hmm. Please don't look in here. Mm-hmm. I just need this.
I just need to smoke cigarettes in a van for a weekend. I'm so sorry. I really need to.
So Sunday morning, bottles once again begin popping around the house, and James accuses Jimmy of rigging the bottles. Mm-hmm. He's out with it. He's got his theory. He's out. I haven't seen you do it. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any evidence. Mm-hmm. Been following you a lot, but I am a bad detective, so that means nothing. I think it was you.
It's like that last scene from Clue. There's all running around the house, and then you came in here, and you unscrewed this one.
So Jimmy's pleading his innocence, and while he's doing that, both James and Jimmy watch a bottle of medicine move across the counter and into the sink. Then they see a bottle of shampoo that goes flying across the sink and hits the floor.
Always bottles. Interesting.
Lots of bottles. This is a bottle ghost.
Okay.
Now, James is looking for trick wires throughout the bathroom.
Yeah, definitely because what a child's going to be doing. Yeah,
absolutely. That is worth it. That is worth the time and effort to research how to make bottles fly with trick wires to goof your dad.
I'm definitely going to use all my Ovaltine points for trick wires around this house rather than pornography. Trust me.
Was that an option? Oh, my gosh. I mean, drink Ovaltine.
It's a long catalog. If you get to the back of it, it starts getting pretty saucy.
So you can find anything. So obviously they do what any normal American family would do. They call the police. They call the Paw Patrol. And those motherfuckers rolled in just the most armored tanks we've ever seen. Before sending an officer, the police asked James to the police didn't believe him. So James had to plead with the officer to take him seriously as he was being called a drunk or a joker. I bet Jimmy's feeling pretty good about now.
Yep.
Fuck you, Dad. So eventually an officer is assigned to the case. His name is James Hughes. that officer arrives. Now he's not happy about being there. He assumes he's getting a nutcase call, mm-hmm. as Jen has it here. Mm-hmm. But within minutes, he also witnesses several bottles in the bathroom blow their tops and start to move around. So he calls for backup.
So I started blasting.
Six more guns. So they build a case, and a detective gets assigned to it. The detective's name is Joseph Tozzi. Mm-hmm. Tozzi takes a lot of notes, but he thinks the most rational explanation is that Jimmy is doing this with simple but effective parlor tricks, or that all of them are imagining things.
Yes, a shared hallucination.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Now, in his defense, that is not a thing that has never happened before. Mm-hmm. It's not a thing that usually involves bottles.
Right.
And tops. So this detective tells you he stays at the house for several days. And normal stuff.
What? Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Of course.
He stays at the house for several days. What?
Every day he talks to my mom for an hour in her room, and then we all have breakfast together. It's not a big deal.
And he sits in dad's chair, and dad sits in the dog bed during dinner, and we all say it's okay. So I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know. Is it weird? I don't know.
I pay my taxes. This is fine.
Anyway, Detective Daddy stays at the house for several days. He witnesses a perfume bottle fall over. The top comes off and it spills its contents and the lid to the bottle of holy water.
Interesting. Oh, this is why the detective smells like perfume all of a sudden in the morning. Oh, so it was funny you mentioned. It's very odd. It fell on me, specifically the pants. And
the pants, the collar, the underpants. Mm. Wow, I don't know how it got in there.
But I had to throw them out. Sure. They were soiled. And anyway, eat your breakfast. We don't even talk about this anymore. It's not a big deal for anyone.
I still think it's Jimmy. It's a going theory.
I'm pretty sure it's trick wise. I need to go talk to his mom for a few more minutes just to make sure, but I'm pretty sure it's trick wise still.
I'm going to debrief her for a long time just to real make sure. So let's see. So he sees the bottle of perfume spill and the bottle of holy water spill in Lucille and James's room. This happened several times. This might be a sex thing.
I think this might be a sex thing. The holy water keeps spilling on your mother, you know, just to make sure. And
no baby, holy water. Thank you, Jesus.
It's really it was the best they knew back then. It was like they invented any alternative methods, but that
we're not even halfway through these notes.
There's notes.
So then Tozzi notices the lids are warm to the touch.
Oh no!
Oh boy. While watching TV with a cousin, Jimmy and his sister Lucy, they watch a porcelain figure wiggle and shoot 2 feet into the air, crash to the ground without being broken.
Oh, now it doesn't break. He's probably like, remember my gondola? Do you remember my gondola now? Mm. Wow, that's so easily broke.
Favorite gondola. Mm-hmm. The Hermans decide then to contact the church and specifically Father William McLeod.
Is he also going to stay at the house for a few days? Because I don't think it's going to turn out as well. He stays for a few days
and his perfume is just dumping all over him.
Yeah. Jimmy and gets very in Jimmy's quiet room. At breakfast.
I don't like that we both went there so quickly. I don't like that at all. Grace, okay. Father McLeod comes to the house. He sprinkles holy water in the rooms. Now, unfortunately, Popper, as he became called, I guess this is the ghost.
Not the priest. boy, let's hope it's I don't know. Here's
Unfortunately, Popper, as he became called, didn't want to leave. Could be the priest.
Oh man, that's pretty bad. Like now I got two big problems in this house.
Either the ghost or the priest is named Popper, mm-hmm. and either one of them or both don't want to leave. Mm-hmm. But one of them loves VCR cleaner a lot. So news of the strange happenings now leaks to newspapers and radio and television stations. The story received a good deal of publicity, and it even got articles in Time and Life magazine.
Wow.
Whew, back when those were things that existed
mm-hmm.
In print. The family started getting letters and telephone calls every day. This is becoming high profile. Many of them proposed logical solutions to caps popping off of bottles, yep. I guess. While others assumed the Hermans, while others assured the Hermans that Martians had landed nearby, or that the problem in the house was the spirit of a long dead Indian chief, or that the Russians were tunneling under Long Island to invade New York. Which, as you know, would result in bottles exploding.
In one house on Long Island.
What a paragraph. Uh-huh. Okay. The Hermans managed to stay patient with everyone, mm-hmm. though. They brought in ministers from all sorts of walks of life, some of them from dubious faiths. No details there.
Sure.
They conducted rituals on the front lawn of the house. One man in a blue Sergei suit.
Mm-hmm. Just push on. I think it's fine.
Okay. Who claimed to be a, quote, holy man from center. Gosh, what is this? A holy man from center Morikes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a nearby town on Long Island, which I'm sure I pronounced wrong, knelt in the yard and prayed for 10 minutes. Then he stood and announced, quote, everything is all right. You have been forgiven.
Oh, that's convenient.
Very easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he left.
Should have called him first.
But Popper did remain.
Oh.
I guess Popper's the ghost.
Makes sense with the popping of the, yeah.
Sure.
It'd be a little gross if it was the priest's name, but.
Well, it could have been. One man who came to the house, Robert Zeider, was a physicist from Long Island's Brookhaven National Laboratory.
Oh.
Now, this is great. Physicist, that's science. That's mm-hmm. a man of science.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
At the bottom of this, he brings, let's read here, a set of dowsing rods.
Oh no. Never mind.
Yeah. He brought a set of dowsing rods with him and went over the property with these rods. And when he was finished, he stated that he believed there were underground streams below the house.
Right. Okay.
Seems I could probably make that same judgment. he thought the water might be creating a, quote, freak magnetic field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does water do that?
I think the problem here is that in the house, they're trying to contain the water, right?
Okay. Yeah.
But nearby.
With pipes and stuff, yeah.
Nearby. So, like, you know, I heard this happen before, similar thing. There is a feral cat in my neighborhood, and whenever the feral cat hops up on my porch, my indoor cats, who are, you know, non-feral, they go crazy.
Domestic.
Yeah. They go crazy, right? I think it's a similar thing. So the water inside of the bottles, they know that there's wild water just, you know, just a few feet below. And that domestic water just goes crazy. I think that's what's going on here.
Okay, now, here's what I'll say. Final answer. Not the worst theory I've heard from this story so far. So, very possible. So this guy thinks there's a freak magnetic field caused by water.
Wild water.
Feral water. And Detective Tozzi examines this idea at length, but a geological survey is conducted and it suggests
how much information
was inaccurate.
How much money is being thrown at this?
How much money would you throw? All your hydrogen peroxide is leaking all over the place. You have no holy water left. Do you need that to live?
CVS is like 20 minutes away. Do you know how?
Oh, you're going to get holy water at CVS? I don't think so. This is a good time to mention, I do have a bottle of holy water and a bottle of blessed salts, and I don't know what to do with them. They came from my dad.
Right.
He's like, please sprinkle these around your house.
Right.
I'm not going to do that, but I don't want to throw them away because that feels like a missed opportunity for something.
Right.
Do you have any thoughts? What should I do with holy water and blessed salt?
Maybe sprinkle them outside.
Well, that's what he said.
Yeah.
That's his idea.
Oh, yeah. I don't see a problem with that.
No, I don't see a problem with it. It's just like, is there a better use for it?
Than that? No, because then it returns to the earth, right? And then it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. So what if I take the salt and I make a circle and then I can conjure demons inside that circle?
Right.
It feels like I'm missing out on an opportunity, like a Hellblazer style opportunity if I don't do that.
Yeah. I would probably experiment on a cicada first and just kind of see.
Okay, I'll draw a circle around a cicada with blessed salt, see if it can leave or not.
Right, and then sprinkle a little bit of holy water on it, and then it's your god after that. So that's...
I'm not sure that's the way the experiment's then supposed to work.
Life gets real simple after that, at least for about a week.
At least till the end of summer.
Goes back to being complicated.
All right, so the information is inaccurate. Additional theories that were all debunked included sonic booms from passing jets.
Any cutting-edge science of the day must be to blame for this. Right.
Radio waves.
Sure.
Underground vibrations.
Uh-huh, right.
And water levels creating instability.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so science was invented after the 50s.
Obviously, yeah.
Is what I'm learning.
Science was invented as a reaction to this case is what it sounds like to me.
We should learn things. Yeah. We should figure stuff out, I think. Let's make science.
Is this one of these things where at the end of it they discover like what pasteurization means or something like that? Everything was rotten in the house. Okay, yeah. Oh, and then the apple juice blew up when I, you know, left it on the couch for a month. It was very weird.
But it did get me real drunk. Oh, is that
super
weird?
Super drunk. And all the birds I fed it to, they got drunk too. It was very weird.
But we had a cool hang. So the family finds hope, finally, in a letter from a woman named Helen Connolly of Revere, Massachusetts.
Oh.
Helen writes that she had experienced odd events in her living room where chairs and furniture had moved about. She didn't have a ghost in her house, but rather a heavy downdraft through her fireplace. Jen, is this a ghost story?
Yeah. All of my cardboard chairs were being blown about the room. It was very, very strange.
Oh,
it's doll furniture, really, but I would like it to stay in one spot.
For a while, I thought ghost, and I thought, no, gentle breeze.
Yeah.
Ah. Jen, I know we don't get to ghosts usually until like the last 5 minutes, and I hope that's what's happening here, but just one note I would give is, are there ghosts? please be ghosts. Anyway, so she had a heavy downdraft through her fireplace. When capped with a rotary metal turbine, the flying tables and chairs ceased to fly. All right, so that's not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
It is helpful. Mr. Herman immediately has one installed in his own chimney, convinced that the strangeness was finally coming to an end. I'm sorry, how do you think those things are related? How do you think that a wind that blows chairs is the same thing that's unscrewing caps from your alcohol bottle? No sooner had the workman completed the installation than a porcelain figurine launched itself from a table and smashed against the desk.
We were so close. We were so close.
We almost had it licked. That figurine had managed to travel a distance of more than 12 feet.
Oof.
Oh, it hit the wall so hard it left a dent in the wood that was broadcast to television audiences all over the New York metropolitan area. Man. After that, the Herman house had bottles shatter in the bathroom. A sugar bowl flew across the kitchen. A globe flew down a hallway. A bookcase, including a full encyclopedia set, which is no joke, turned upside down. And a portable phonograph hit the wall with such force it dented the woodwork.
Whew.
It's probably wind.
So it's getting, this has downdraft written all over it. This is...
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's either wind or mongoose ghost in the walls, for sure. One day, James's boss came to visit the house. You can't have people over.
No.
If this is happening. Yeah. You can't, especially not work people. Come on.
But like, what a 1950s thing, having your boss over to the house.
Like, honey, we've got to have his. I'm over for dinner. Come on.
Can you fathom in this day and age,
James? There's shit smashing against walls every hour on the hour.
Yeah.
Oh, but honey, come on. We got to impress the boss. I need a raise.
This is how it works here. If you could just sweep up all of the hydrogen peroxide and maybe ask that policeman who's lived here for 2 years to leave for a few minutes, I would appreciate it.
Could we put nets around the dining room? Because we got to catch those things. They cannot be flying around in here. Please, please. So his boss visits the house, and he has to duck when a crockery bowl nearly hits him in the skull.
Oh, there goes the promotion. That's a shame.
There it goes. Yeah, yeah. James is unemployed soon. When family friends came over on a Sunday afternoon, one of the guests watched as an untouched glass bowl fell from a telephone bench to what the fuck is a telephone bench?
Well, you sit down,
a glass bowl on it.
Where you sit down, you know, where you sit down and talk on the telephone. What are you gonna? Are you gonna walk around the house? You
can stand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you not seen the cords that are 18 feet long? That's what we had when I was a kid. It's good enough for me. It's good enough for them. You twirl it around your finger and you go boop 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 boop. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you clothesline your sisters with it.
Right.
And it's cool. So a glass bowl falls from a telephone bench to the floor. One night, Detective Tozy, who I guess is just shacking up there in the king-size bed, he'd been walking down the basement stairs with Jimmy when a bronze statue of a horse weighing nearly 100 pounds flew across the basement and hit the detective in the legs.
You got to get rid of you got to get rid of all the heavy stuff in the house.
Absolutely.
I mean, paper plates, plastic cutlery, no bronze anything.
A bronze 100 pound statue? What are you doing?
would you bring it on a ship with you? No. Probably shouldn't be in the house. I don't really know how to put it.
Like, I don't want to victim shame here, but this is their fault. Yeah. So hits him in the legs, which I assume hurts real bad. Mm-hmm. A newspaper photographer named John Gold from the London Evening News witnesses his flashbulbs lift off a table and fly through the air and strike a wall. And in addition, Popper had begun knocking on the walls to get attention.
I mean,
although no attempts to communicate were ever made.
Popper?
Yeah, you should communicate with Popper. Yeah. Popper needs something. Popper needs attention.
Yeah.
Popper's trying to get your attention.
He needs closure. All right. Like, he needs.
Absolutely.
He's trying to tell you what lotto numbers are, and you're not listening. And.
Tozy had become concerned about the new violence and the disruptions. Finally. Mm-hmm.
It keeps waking me up. Okay. I can't have this.
Keeps interrupting me mid coitus, yeah. And I will not have that. I am so uncomfortable. On February 26, researchers from Dr. J.B. Rhine's famous parapsychology lab at Duke University had become interested in Popper.
When do you think that lab closed?
instantly. I have February 26, so I don't know, February 27th?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm going to bookmark this, though, for this. That's got to be the source of some good stories for us. Okay. They had already compiled a mass of evidence that supported the idea that certain people, under the right circumstances, could influence the behavior of objects without touching them. So this is one of the early scenes of Ghostbusters.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're doing all that jazz on.
Sure.
They called it psychokinesis, or PK.
Interesting. And they built an unstoppable basketball program out of these powers. How very curious.
As the disturbances at the home continued and in fact increased, Dr. Ryan's assistant, Dr. J. Gaither Pratt, traveled to New York and arrived at the Herman House on February 26th. Same date feels fine. Pratt believed that someone in the house was unknowingly causing the strange incidents to occur. Meanwhile, other researchers came to believe the incidents in the house were being caused by an actual ghost, a poltergeist, or noisy spirit.
Finally,
we get to poltergeist. After
72 people show up that are skeptics and get hit in the head with a fucking glass bowl. And after 72 minutes
of this podcast, someone's like, hey, maybe it's a ghost.
Yeah.
Do you remember what makes a poltergeist, Pat?
Touching ghost. Poulter means.
Is that right?
Poulter. I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Oh, that was your thing. Yeah, yeah. That was your sick, gross thing. Which, what? You know, I think the detective here would be on board.
Yeah.
It's a poltergeist. Do you feel it down there? That's the ghost.
No, don't open your eyes.
So these prankster ghosts traditionally targeted religious items, as the disturbances had done with the holy water and the Virgin Mary statue in the Herman House. Virgin Mary statue is a new element here. Mm-hmm.
Definitely want a bunch of heavy ceramic statues in the house. That's going to help everybody.
Yeah. On the other hand, strong evidence remained for the idea there was a human component behind the haunting. So, okay. Mm-hmm. It had been noted by the Duke researchers that an adolescent child, usually a girl, was almost always among the members of the household being plagued by a poltergeist phenomena, which I think tracks with our poltergeist story.
Oh, so every time. There's always like a pubescent girl or something like that that the ghost gets all creepy about.
God, yep. Let me read this. They believed it was possible this young person might be capable of psychokinesis during the height of puberty.
Mm-hmm. Drew Barrymore
type. Why do you know so much?
I've seen Firestarter. I know how this works.
In every case, though, the young person might be unaware that she or he was unconsciously causing the events to happen, making them as bewildered as the adults around them. In the case of the Herman House, Jimmy was at or near the scene of the poltergeist disturbances for more than 75% of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Shame the pubescent boy in the middle of all this stuff.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I'm having wet dreams. I don't need this.
He's got like three daddies that live in the house at this point, and he's the one to blame for all this.
I haven't seen my mommy in 5 nights. For many incidents, he was the sole witness. Dr. Pratt was welcomed into the Herman residence and greeted warmly.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
This dad is such a cuck. What is happening? He spent most of the time there chatting with Jimmy, playing cards with him, helping him with his homework, and generally just being around the young man. So he's a dad.
Yeah. I mean,
is what he's doing.
Jimmy's getting like 5 BB guns for his birthday. That's what it sounds like to me. He's gonna be handing them out like candy at school. Like, I got too many at this point. I really don't know.
Finally, for young Jimmy, someone is giving him many BB. Yeah. Many people are giving him many BB guns. God, these doctors are all—they're just like sniffing this out.
Mm-hmm.
There was no sign of strangeness during the visit. Popper was absolutely quiet. Dr. Pratt then summons another colleague from North Carolina, William G. Roll. And together they interview the family members, and they are convinced that none of them were perpetrating a hoax. Here's a quote. The family was much too shaken for it to be a colossal hoax, Pratt told a United Press reporter. Things were quiet for the next several days, as though the poltergeist did not want to perform for the scientists. But then, on March 2nd, 1 month after Popper first arrived, he decided to make himself known once again. All the Hermans were in the house to witness what took place. First, a dish vaulted from a kitchen cabinet, shattered on the floor. Then a night table flipped over in Jimmy's room. End of haunting.
Okay. Again, this is very much Cats. Just come full circle.
It's Cats running around in the sheet.
Yeah. My cats have already broken one dish today. None of this is new.
Oh my God. Do you have a poltergeist?
Yeah, I probably do. Two of them, and they both suck.
Should we call men in to sleep with your wife to find out? Because
nope.
It might be helpful.
Please, God. This is how I got so many cats in the first place.
Popper was back, and yet there was still no explanation as to who or what he was. But 2 days later, a bowl of flowers slides down the dining room table, jumps into the air, and then a bookcase turns end over end in the cellar. But this would not be Popper's farewell performance. That event would occur on March 10th, while Mrs. Herman, Jimmy, and Lucy were getting ready for bed. Oh, and in parentheses, James was away on business.
Mm.
I feel like maybe James is usually away on business. So Pratt and Roll are both there because I assume James is away on business. Pratt and Roll suddenly hear a loud popping sound in the cellar and they hurry downstairs to see what it is. Mm-hmm. They find a bleach bottle sitting in a cardboard box that had somehow lost its plastic lid. For reasons unknown, this became the last act of the Herman family poltergeist. So it's mostly bottles.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently.
It feels okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
There have been a record of 67 recorded disturbances between February 3rd and March 10th. The Hermans had been visited by detectives, building inspectors, electricians, plumbers, firemen, parapsychologists, and half of the quote-unquote nutcases on the East Coast, all of whom real fucked that mom.
Yeah.
And yet none of them had been able to present a satisfactory explanation for what had occurred in their home. Weeks after the household returned to normal, the quote-unquote experts still came to investigate. I bet they did.
Yeah.
And theorized about what had taken place. As late as August 1958, the scientists at Duke still had no clue as to what had happened and why. Because these are scientists and they are virgins.
Mm-hmm. We can never explain where all the flowers were coming from or the chocolates or any of these things.
Why everything was just so wet all the time. Now, by this time, the Hermans had had enough of investigations. They just wanted to get back to their normal lives. So James Herman no longer cares why the disturbances had taken place. He was just happy they were over. Hey, guys. Please stop having sex with my wife.
Guys, I'm just glad that chapter of our life is over.
Mrs. Herman told an Associated Press reporter, quote, "I don't think there is a definite solution. It was just one of those things with no rhyme or reason to it. But there was a definite but there was a definite physical force behind it."
Oh my god.
Oh man, good for her.
I can't wait to read this kid's 23andMe because it is gonna be just everywhere.
Oh man. The Popper case remains unique in the annals of the supernatural. For a variety of reasons, not the least of which is the fact that this became the first haunting that was actually shown on television. This is actually kind of a fun fact.
Wham!
Fans of the 1982 horror film Poltergeist will recognize the Herman story as it sounds similar to what the Freeling family goes through. Oh, wait, no, Jen actually has written here. Fun fact!
Wham!
The notorious Amityville Horror House is only about 7 miles away from the Herman House. That is fun. It's fun. And that is the story of the Herman House, which may or may not have been the basis for Poltergeist movies, which were terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Very scary.
Not nearly as sexy, though. So
not nearly as sexy. This is the sexiest story we've ever had.
Also, Craig T.
Nelson. I don't know if the brothel was sexy.
Craig T. Nelson is not letting any of that happen in his house. I don't really know.
Absolutely not. Come on. Runs a tight ship. Now, one of his daughters does come out through the inside of a fortune teller, and I think Poltergeist 2.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of sexy.
Yeah.
In a really problematic way. But that's it, though, right?
Well,
it's a ghost that likes to take caps off bottles and mm-hmm. spill things.
Mm-hmm. To each their own, I guess.
I guess so. That's what a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, no one investigated the mom, huh? In her whole. What a thing. Any questions? Any thoughts? Any concerns?
I mean, lots of concerns. I don't really want to get into them right now. But no, just kind of happy.
Not sure we're qualified.
Yeah, just kind of happy. Everything appeared to have worked out at the end.
Yeah,
there. Yeah.
Everyone got theirs. Mm-hmm. And
Dad stopped going on so many trips, which was nice for everyone home.
Yeah. Yeah. Finally. So it worked.
Mm-hmm.
The ghost worked.
A lot of bottles got opened. That's all I can say.
A lot of bottles just sprang mm-hmm. everywhere. Just everywhere. Well, this has been another episode of Is This a Ghost? And we are a production of Smith Show Media. The notes this week were not taken by me, Clayton Smith. They were taken by Jen Swanson, who also does our video editing. All the funny jokes are from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our social media editor is Kai Valanis. And gosh, I guess if you are going to have sex with a ghost, make sure that it's fake and not something that the ghost will come back to kill you for. Is that a thing? Or else you'll be on the next episode. This is that went badly. I don't know. This episode is over.